Thanks, Cassie. I don't care who you are or what your stage in life or whether you're a little kid or a senior adult. There are normally times in your life where people or things get to you and you are quite impatient. Sean shared with some of our people on the worship team this morning about some of the things that are impatient or some of the things that are patient testers in their life. So I got a little quiz here for you. You want to see which of these things test your patience. So let's begin. The first one is this. Does this test your patience? Spending time with your in-laws. If that tests your patience, let me see you raise your hands, okay? I see that hand, Christy. Yes, thank you. Over here, yes, I see that. Okay, the second one is this. Having someone pull out in front of you and then driving real slow down through. Does that test your patience? Okay. All right, the third one is this. Someone who talks nonstop. Does that test your patience? Instead of having a conversation with them, it's like listening to a monologue and they just never stop so that you can talk because you have the right things to say. The fourth one is this, slow service at McDonald's. I think one of the people said this earlier over here on this end. When you go to the drive-thru and just wait forever, and does that test anybody's patience? No? Oh, a few. Okay, let me see them. Here's the fifth one. Long-winded preachers who talk way too long. John, take names, would you? As Doug Norris always says to me, you missed about three good spots that you could have stopped last Sunday. Well, let's see what the Bible says about patience. I read for you earlier today, James chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. And it said in there, be patient. In fact, three times it said, be patient. As the people of God, we are challenged to be patient. It's not always easy. If you have your Bibles in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, which has been kind of the hallmark verse around which we are putting this series together, it is called the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, I think you can probably learn this verse by the time we are done. And it says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. And we know that all of the fruit that comes from God, comes from the Holy Spirit, comes to us to improve our life, to lift us up, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to help us in our Christian character development. Now, God doesn't just want us to be patient because he says, well, that's a good idea. I think you should do that. God wants us to be patient because he recognizes that there are a lot of dangers in being impatient. Now, we all have heard the stories about individuals who are impatient on the roadways and what we call road rage, and because of their impatience, somebody either gets hurt or something gets damaged, and we recognize how stupid that is. But the real problem with impatience is this. When we are impatient, when we can't wait, we make hasty decisions, and many times those decisions come back to haunt us for a long period of time. We don't spend adequate time in preparation and prayer and getting the needed information from them. And so we wind up, because of our impatience, taking the wrong job, marrying the wrong person, saying the wrong thing, and therefore regretting it, choosing the wrong friends, making decisions that will later come back to cause us great harm. Now, when I'm talking about patience today, I'm not talking about just simply laying down and allowing people to run over you. I'm not talking about just being a couch potato and laying in front of the TV all day and saying it doesn't, nothing matters in life. It's not being inactive. Real patience, biblical patience, just like the biblical definitions I have given you for love, joy, and peace, is quite different than what our secular world might say. Real patience is this. It's the ability to completely trust God that he is in control of things. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that God is in control? Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans 8:28. This is a verse that enables us, although you wouldn't normally think of it as a verse that deals with patience, this is a verse that gets at the very essence of what it means to be patient. Because patient means, I believe that God is in control, and I'm releasing control to Him. That's tough for us to do. That's tough for me to do. I believe that God is in control. And it says this, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So our participation in this is to do what we're supposed to do. Our participation in this is to be obedient unto God. And when we do that, after we have done all that we can, we just say, now, Lord, I've just got to leave the results to You. I can't do any more. But I have done what I'm supposed to do, but I believe, God, that You know all things and that You work for good in all of those. Now, you don't have to write this down on your piece of paper necessarily, but what mistakes have you made in life because you couldn't wait? What mistakes have you made in life because you couldn't wait? Oftentimes, we put this on of our teenagers. Because they can't wait for marriage, they get themselves into sexual trouble. And certainly that's one problem. But that's not the only problem by any stretch of the imagination. There are many more things that people do in life because they can't wait. They can't wait to accumulate the money that they can buy something and get themselves into credit card problems. They can't wait for this particular job to come through, and they take a poor job rather than the one they really need. They can't wait for something to happen, and so they move ahead of God and push Him aside and do their own thing and get themselves into trouble. All right, let's talk about this. Why are we so impatient? How many of you think you're impatient? Let me see that. Most of you. Okay. I probably should raise my hand there, too. I didn't tell you about all my impatient things. Carol can tell you about it later after the service is over. Why are we so impatient? Because the first thing is, it goes against human nature. We aren't naturally born patient people. When a baby wakes up in the middle of the night, and it is hungry and it is wet, it doesn't lay in the bed and think to itself, you know, I know Mommy and Daddy have had a tough day. I know that they really want to sleep until the morning. I think I'm just going to wait until morning until I let them know what my needs are. Any of you have a baby? You can tell the difference there. They don't wait. They cry out because there's an immediate need, and they haven't understood the concept of patience yet, and they said, no, I want exactly what I want, and I want it right now. Have you ever traveled with children, more than one? Now, when I traveled with my children when they were young, this was back before the days of the little TV things they've got in the monitors on the cars these days. And what do you call those things, Travis, that you pull out and pop up? And DVD players? Yeah, they show the movies and all that. All we had was an AM radio. And it crackled whenever you were more than 10 miles out of town. So you couldn't. So when you had the kids in the back, all you heard was this. Hey, you're on my side. My brother touched me. My brother pushed me. How long till we get there? When's it going to be? How much longer? I got to go potty. Have you ever heard of those? If you've ever traveled with more than one child for more than 10 miles, you know exactly what I mean. It is a very impatient thing because children are not patient. When you're out in the hallway, do you see the little kids that come up, and when they want to talk, even though you're talking to someone, they start pulling on your trouser, pulling on your dress. They want to talk. They have to learn patience. It goes against our very nature. The second thing is, it goes against our culture. Americans are not patient people. We live in an uptight, busy, deadline-driven society that simply is not used to waiting on things. Now, when you go to a third world country, as some of our people will be leaving this next weekend to go to Honduras, it is totally different lifestyle. They're much more laid back. And those of you who've been to third world countries, you recognize what I mean by this. I think in our culture, we have so tried to jam-pack more and more things into less and less time that it has caused us almost to be impatient people because we can't get everything done that we want to have done. We live by the clock. Other countries don't always do that. Did you know that up until the 17th century, there was no concept of a second? and a watch. You know, when you talk about the first century of the Middle Ages, they lived by sundials. They didn't live by their watch. And therefore, they took their time. Whenever you travel to one of these third world countries, and I remember one of my first experiences after I went to Guatemala, the previous church that I was at, we used to take a yearly work camp trip down to Guatemala to help them out, and now we do that in Honduras with this church. And I would always meet with the people before they go, especially the people who had never gone before. And my first thing that I would say to them is this. You see your watch? Take it off and leave it at home, because it doesn't mean a thing when you get to Guatemala or Honduras. I can remember one of the first times that I was down there with Isai Calderon, and we were supposed to start the service at 7 o'clock, and it got to be 7, you know, I'm an American, 7 o'clock, 7:15, we're not there yet. He says, let's stop and get some coffee before we... I said, it's 7:15. We get to the service at 8 o'clock. It's supposed to start at 7. That drives us nuts. To them, no big deal. They don't have a watch. They don't know what time it is. They're just enjoying life. But here's the big one. Not only does it go against our nature and against our culture, it goes against our pride. Because patience means giving others the time and the space that I want for myself. That's my space on the road. Get out of my way. And when someone else takes our space or takes our time, we don't like to give it up. Patience is sometimes the ability to put up with people that you'd really like to put down. It's just simply saying, I have to deal with this. Patience means that it's not fair. Patience means that we give other people something they don't deserve. And the higher up we go in our status, the less we have to wait. The president doesn't wait on anybody. When you go to the doctor's office, they don't wait on you. You wait on them. And therefore, for us to have to wait and for us to be impatient is a sign that we want to be in control. I don't know about you, but I like to be in control. And it's a humbling experience to have patience. So how do we become more patient? If we recognize the dangers of impatience, and we recognize that it is a gift of God, that God has said to us, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, how do we develop more patience in our life? Since it is a part of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, fruit takes time to ripen and mature. Patience doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't come quickly. As one wise sage has said, you have to be very patient to develop patience. There's a 17-year-old boy named Stephen Ortiz who goes to Charter Oaks High School in Glendora, California. And he's been in the news lately, and perhaps you've seen him in the newspaper or on the internet, because he traded a cell phone for a 2000 Porsche Boxster S convertible. Now, how in the world could a guy trade a used cell phone for a 2000 Boxster S Porsche convertible? Here's how he did it. First of all, he was given the phone by one of his friends that didn't want it. But he went on Craigslist, and for any of you that are over 40 years old, Craigslist is a website where you can go and you can buy things or sell things or barter, and you can put on there, I have something and I want to get for it, and somebody will make you an offer, and et cetera, et cetera. So he took this cell phone, he put it on Craigslist, and he traded it for a better cell phone. Then he traded it for an iPod. Then he traded that for a dirt bike. Then he traded that for a better dirt bike. Then a MacBook Pro. Then a souped-up golf cart, and then he traded that for an 87 Toyota 4Runner. He traded that for a 1975 Ford Bronco, and when he got the 75 Ford Bronco, they discovered that it was kind of a collector's item, and therefore he traded it for a Porsche Boxster. And when he was asked, how did you do this? He said, it took me 14 different transactions over 2 years. And the secret, he said, is to find something that somebody else doesn't want and give them something that they do want. But then he said this, but the real secret is patience. 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 He was on the computer 5 to 6 hours a day for 2 years. Obviously, he's a student and not somebody who works. Patience. So the first thing that we have to say is this. We have to learn from God's example. We talked about how do we get more love. Jesus is the great example of love. And therefore we look at his characteristic and say, how can I make his application of his love into my life? It is the same for joy and peace. It is the same for patience. We draw all of these virtues or these characteristics from Jesus. And the Bible is very clear when it says that the fruit of the Spirit, traits, come from the Holy Spirit and not from our own power. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're not a Christian, you can't be loving or joyful or peaceful or all of that. Of course you can. But what it means is, as a believer in Christ who is a Christian, our model should be to model ourselves after these characteristics of God, and with his help, he will fill us with these things. And the reason we can get patience from God is that God is the poster child for patience. And when you look at the stories of the Bible, you can easily see that God operates on a totally different time frame than we do. We often find ourselves bent out of shape because things don't happen quickly. But when you look at the scriptures, you'll see some interesting things. God doesn't work at the same speed that we do. David was appointed king, but for 7 years Saul chased him around all over the place trying to kill him before he actually came to fruition and became the king. Abraham and Isaac were told, you're going to have a son. You're going to be the son of promise. It was 25 years later before it came true. When Jesus was born, it was 30 years before he actually reached out and began his ministry assignment. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham is told by God, you are going to be the father of a great nation. I'm going to give you land. And he explained how big it was going to be. Abraham never owned anything but a cemetery plot in his entire life. He was a wanderer. He never saw that come true. The nation of Israel took 900 years after Abraham before it actually came true. When Isaiah said, there will be a child that will be born unto you, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, it was 800 years before that child came to fruition. And when Jesus had communion with his people that we celebrated earlier today, he said, I'm going to come back again to you. And they said, great, when? It's been 2,000 years, and he hasn't come back yet. But we know he will because of his promises. God's timing is not our timing. It's more like a crock pot than it is a microwave. We like the microwave stuff. So we have to broaden our time horizon. The most important things in life cannot happen quickly. If you desire to be a good husband, a good wife, a good parent, a good Christian, whatever it is, if you desire to mature as a Christian, it doesn't happen overnight. The most important things in life take time to develop. You want a meal? You can go down to McDonald's and in 5 minutes have a meal. But if you want a meal that has a little better quality to it, if you want steak and potatoes and you go to Outback, it takes more than 5 minutes for it to happen. The things in life that are important and significant and meaningful and lasting take time to develop. It takes 18 years to raise a child in the way that they should go, or 25 years, or 30 years. It takes lots of TLC. It takes lots of forgiveness. It takes lots of love and care. It takes lots of being able to roll with the punches. It takes a lot of that to have happen. When the Christian faith, when we come to know Christ, we immediately want to be like the Apostle Paul. It doesn't happen that way. It takes time to grow and develop, and we have to be patient. The important thing is, are we walking the journey? Are we walking the pathway of faith? And learning the characteristics of God take time. We have to be patient as day by day God teaches us these things. And the way God teaches us is totally different from the way that we would like for him to. We want things to be done now, don't you? I want them to be today. I don't want them to be tomorrow. I want them to be now. God never gets in a hurry. And a lot of our impatience revolves around the fact that people aren't on our timetable. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3. So if you want to become more patient, you've got to take your great example of being God, who is patient. You have to broaden your time horizon. It's not going to happen overnight, the things that you want to see happen. But here's the key and the single most important thing about developing patience. We have to see other people as Jesus sees them. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow. Boy, it sure seems like he is sometimes, doesn't it? The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Did you know that the Lord is patient with you? Do you know why you can be patient with the people who bug the fire out of you? Because God is patient with you. Do you know that the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but yet the very first time you sinned, you didn't die? Do you know why? The Lord is patient with you. You know, when you came to know Christ, you said, I'm going to do everything right, and then you didn't. The Lord is patient with you. Do you know those times when you made those wrong decisions and you said, oh, I shouldn't have done that? The Lord is patient with you. God didn't quit loving you the first time you said, I want nothing to do with God. He kept reaching out for you. God didn't give up on you when you were a prodigal son or a daughter. In Jim Cimbala's book on Fresh Wind, Fresh Power, Jim Cimbala is the pastor of a church in Brooklyn that has the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and is quite famous, and they are known for their prayer times. And yet when Jim Cimbala and his wife, being the pastors of that church, they had a teenage daughter by the name of Chrissy. And Chrissy began to kind of do her own thing. And when she turned 18, she left the house and she basically turned her back on God and the things of God and said, I don't want anything to do with this anymore. And so she began to go out into society and began to get involved in some things that were very destructive to her lifestyle. And Jim, of course, and his wife were just heartbroken over that because they just felt like they had done the very best that they could with her, but it just didn't happen. And so she went out and did some things that they were very concerned about that might even have a long-term effect upon her life. And they just didn't know what to do, and they just kept praying about it. And in his book, he says that one Tuesday evening, they have a prayer meeting every Tuesday evening, one of the ladies in the church got up and just said, you know, I just feel like that tonight we should especially pray for Chrissy, Jim's daughter. Well, of course, they had been praying for her for a long time. And so they did. They got down and they began to pray for Chrissy. And it wasn't very long until Chrissy came back home one night. And I'm going to actually read you the story from Jim as he repeats it for us, and it says this: 32 hours later on Thursday morning, I was shaving and suddenly my wife Carol burst into the room and said, Chrissy is here. I said, what? She said, no, she wants to talk with you. So I wiped off the shaving cream and headed down the stairs with my heart pounding, and as I rounded the corner, I saw Sissy lying on the kitchen floor, rocking on her hands and knees and sobbing. And I said, Chrissy? And she grabbed my pant leg and began pouring out her anguish. Daddy, Daddy, I've sinned against God and I've sinned against myself and I've sinned against you and Mommy, and can you please ever forgive me? And tears clouded my vision, and I pulled her up from the floor and I held her close, and we began to cry and weep together. And suddenly she drew back with a start and she said this: Daddy, who was praying for me Tuesday night? Who was praying for me? I didn't say anything, and she continued. In the middle of the night, God woke me up and showed me I was heading toward the abyss. There was no bottom to it. I was headed for hell, and it scared me to death, and I was so frightened, I realized how hard I had been and how wrong I had been and how rebellious I had been. But then something unusual happened. It felt like God just came down and wrapped his arms around me and held me tight and kept me from sliding further into the abyss. And he said, Chrissy, I still love you. Well, the ending of that story, of course, is that Chrissy came back to know Christ. She went on to college and met a wonderful young man. They were married, and he became a pastor, and now she's a pastor's wife and living for the Lord. It didn't happen overnight. Why doesn't God knock Osama bin Laden dead with a heart attack off the face of the earth? I don't know. Why doesn't he intervene and when we see injustices that we see every week? Why doesn't God just send a lightning bolt? God is patient. God said, I love you. I don't care what you've done. I love you. Don't care what you've been. Don't care what's happened in your life. Don't care what kind of mistakes that you've made. I want to see you as you can be. We have to take on the mentality of God when we look at people and see them not as we sometimes see them with our flesh, but see them with spiritual eyes and see that God loves them and He cares about them and He wants them to be in His family, and He's actually gone so far as to literally give His life for them. And that's the way we see them. Do you see that when you're patient with someone who deserves to be hit in the head with a hammer, you're actually being like God, because He should be hitting us in the head with a hammer. And God said, I love you and I care about you. Let's wrap this up this morning. What does patience, this fruit of the Spirit called patience, really look like? Patience is something that takes time to mature. It doesn't happen like that. It happens as we experience the frustration of life and as we continue to depend and trust on Jesus Christ as our Savior, as we continue to trust that God is true and His Word is true. And it gives us the ability to sit back and wait for an expected outcome without experiencing anxiety and tension and worry, and let go of our need for immediate gratification and say, God, I know You have something good for me. Patience is a trait within us that helps us to develop tolerance toward other people who are different than we are. Compassion toward people who are mocking at the Lord that we love. Understanding toward people who have different viewpoints than we do. Acceptance of people who have different lifestyles than we do. And helping to develop and mature our faith. It's the ability to remain calm in the assurance that God loves us. He knows everything about us, and He continues to love us, and therefore we can look around at the people in our circle of influence and have patience with them, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. Lord, we love You today, and I thank You for being patient with me. I haven't deserved it many times, and patience is not what we deserve. It's an act of God. It's an act of mercy. It's an act of compassion. It's an act of love. And Lord, I pray that as a believer and as we strengthen ourselves in You, that You would enable us to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and display a lifestyle that shows patience to the people around about us, that continues to love them and reach out to them, for our children that may be wandering, for our friends that may be doing things that aren't necessarily godly. Help us to be able to show them Christ in the way that we live our lives. Help us as parents to be patient with our children, because we know they try us at times. Help us to keep loving them and disciplining them and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of God. Help us to be patient with the older family members that we have, who have maybe lost some of their faculties and are not to the point where they used to be, and sometimes it's frustrating. Help us to look upon them with the same love that You look upon us with. Help us to be patient with those who are different from us, who have different viewpoints, who have different preferences, and help us to unify together around the cross of Jesus Christ, that we might present to You a heart of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please?
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not fade.